Let's, first of all, thanks, Rodney, for taking care of the crowd breakers. I know, like I said before, every time there's a crowd breaker at anything, I get super nervous because who knows what, you know, what they're going to ask of you. But I appreciate that. It does loosen everybody up, and we have a good time. So I appreciate it. Let's pray for a second, and we'll jump in here. Lord, thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you for life and for second chances. Thank you for your grace. And so we're going to learn from your word tonight. Thank you for rescuing us from hell. Thank you for giving us hope. And we cannot thank you enough. And we love you for it. And just pray that you teach us tonight, that we would just have a new love and appreciation for what you've done for us, and that, and just that you'd change us, and that you'd be honored in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to start out and read our passage. Last week we almost finished up Jonah chapter 1, and a new paragraph. I don't know that those are inspired necessarily, but I have a little paragraph marker and verse 17 in my Bible. So that's a new section. So we're starting there. And so chapter 1, verse 17. And at this point, Jonah was just cast out of the boat, sunk down in the water, and that's where we pick up. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. All right. So, again, we're not going to do a verse-by-verse thorough study of this chapter, but we're just going to look at some topics. And tonight, as you can see on your study sheet, the main topic is hell. And just as by way of introduction, last week we saw that storms of life happen to everyone at different times. God uses the storms to change our perspective and our direction in life. In chapter 1, God gets the attention of the sailors. But he doesn't have Jonah's attention yet. In chapter 2, within the belly of the fish, Jonah finally starts to care. God finally gets his attention and he cries out to God. So the belly of the fish brings him to obedience. And it makes me think of when I put our kids on timeout and they're sitting there and I come back after a couple minutes, and I say, are you ready to obey? I don't know if you guys do that or not, but are you ready to obey and see how they respond? And I think that's kind of what's happening to Jonah here. God is taking the punishment for Jonah, and he's like, are you ready to obey? And we'll see by the end, yeah, Jonah is ready to obey. But one of the saddest things in life is when someone is in such a depression, their life is so bad, it's so much torment, that they think that the only way out of life, or only the only way out of their pain, is by ending their life. I think that is so sad, because they think that that will make it stop. And I mean, especially for unbelievers, to what's so sad is they think, I'm going to stop this pain, but they go from one torment even to a worse one. And that, I mean, I say that with all seriousness. Someone once said, you shouldn't teach about hell unless you're able to cry about those that are going there. And so I say that with seriousness, but like, as bad as life gets, we're going to see it has nothing compared to hell. And even though tonight, I don't want to be super serious, because we're going to look at the hope side of it too. So, let's look into hell. Point one, Jonah experienced hell. In verses 1 and 2, it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. So, what is hell? We can learn some things about hell by looking at Jonah's description of what he was going through here. And we can compare that to what the Bible says in other places about hell. And we can learn some things. So, point A. There's kind of a lot of blanks here. We are going to try to hit them really quick. A, it's a prepared place of punishment. And it's intended for the devil and his angels. It's prepared. In Jonah 1:17, it says, the Lord had prepared a great fish. That's a phrase that comes up a couple times in the book of Jonah, that God had prepared things. We'll see those other ones later, but God had prepared this fish. So even, I would imagine, years before Jonah ever disobeyed, God had created that fish to grow to the point to where it could swallow Jonah someday. That's pretty cool that God has that kind of foreknowledge to prepare that. But in Matthew 25:41, it says, Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So we realize that hell is not originally prepared for people or intended for people, but it was for the devil and his angels. And it's everlasting fire. Point B, it's down in the depths of the earth. Down. Verse 3 of Jonah 2, thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. So it's this idea of sinking down deep into the floods. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. In verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. I think one of the big differences between storms in life and hell is that storms are temporary. Someone, I think, at our table said that, like, storms are temporary. You know that they are going to have an end. But and that's the thing about hell, is it's to the soul, and it lasts, as we're going to see a little bit later too. But in verse 6, speaking about going down, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. So it's down. Other places in the Bible where it talks about this, and there were a lot of them, I'm just trying to give just a few. Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. There it is. Hell is down. Amos 9:2, though they dig unto hell, and goes on, but hell is down. Point C, it's a place of affliction and torment. And in verse 2, Jonah says, I cried by reason of my affliction. It's afflicting and it's tormenting. And he says in verse 7, my soul fainted. So it's a torment and an affliction for the soul and for the body. Luke 16:22. This is the story where Jesus is talking about the rich man and Lazarus. And he says in verse 23, the rich man, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And then at the end of this, of verse 24, he says, I'm tormented in this flame. So there's flame, there's tormenting. It's a terrible place. And D, it's a place of corruption, which is destruction and decay. Verse 6b, he says, yet thou hast, the second part of verse 6, he says, thou hast brought up my life from corruption. And when we think of, well, And the corruption in hell is both fire and worm. Mark 9:43, he says, "If a hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better to thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." So there's fire and there's worm. It's corruption, it's destruction, it's decay. The worms are decay, eating away, and the fire is destruction. We were just at a campfire the other day, and my son Mac was saying, "Have you ever thought about what fire is? Like, is it a solid, a liquid, or a gas?" And I was like, "I honestly can't tell you the answer to that. But what it does is it destroys what it is burning. It eats it away. And yet, it never, in hell, that destruction and that decay never really is finalized. It's just ongoing. It's not quenched. And E, I think the worst part about hell is that it's separation from God. In verse 4, Jonah says, "Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight." We know, the Bible says that God is light. 1 John 1:5. "This is the message we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." And so God is light and hell is darkness. 2 Peter 2:4 says, it's talking about the angels that sinned, it says that God cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment. So hell is a dark place. It's the opposite of light. God is not there. It is the absence of God. Matthew 25:41 says, Jesus says, "Depart from me into everlasting fire." So it's leaving the presence of God. In Isaiah 45:7, God says, "I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do these things." And I know that verse can be confusing sometimes, but this is what I think it's saying. I form the light and I create darkness. So I divide. If you don't have light, if you go away from the light, darkness is there. It's the absence of light. I make peace. That's in God's presence. In God's presence is peace. If you leave that, the only natural thing is evil. So you get rid of God and you just automatically are left with the vacuum, which is evil. All types of evil. That's the absence of God. And this is really what Jonah wanted. There are three times in chapter 1 that it says that he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And when we think about life and those who say to God, "No thanks, I don't want you. I want to be far from you." I mean, hell is really the answer to that. The final answer that, "No, I don't want you forever." And that is the worst part, I think, about hell is the absence of God. Number two, Jesus, I couldn't think of a better, like a good way. I couldn't think of a good way to say this, but Jesus tasted, so he experienced, and he triumphed hell. What does Jonah have to do with Jesus? Well, remember last week we said that Jonah is the only prophet that Jesus likened himself to. He said in Matthew 12:39, he said, "You're looking for a sign, but the only sign you'll be given is the sign of the prophet Jonas." There it is, Jonas. All right. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Saying, look at Jonas, he's a picture of me. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and I'm greater than Jonah. He's just the picture. So what can we learn about Jesus from this? It's really the same as what Jonah went through. A, his punishment, that's your blank, his punishment for our sins was preordained. It was predetermined. So when we were redeemed, 1 Peter 1:19 says, "We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before the world began, Jesus was going to die for sins. It was just like God prepared that fish, Jesus' punishment for our sins was prepared in advance. And his punishment was for us. That's the awesome thing, that he did it for us. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions, not his. He had nothing to pay, but he did it for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed. Romans 5:6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. And in verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So his punishment was predetermined in eternity past, and he did it for us. That's awesome. Just as Jonah was taken down to the depths of the earth, point B, Jesus was buried. So continuing with the picture, how Jonah pictures Jesus. This is really cool. If you look at, compare these two verses here. Let's see. Yes. Yes, Jonah 1:5. Just here's your blanks. I think I gave you these blanks. Jonah was wrapped with weeds. So he was wrapped with weeds. He was enclosed by the depths of the sea, and he was sealed inside the jaws of a fish. And Jesus was wrapped in a cloth. He was buried in a tomb, and it was sealed off by a great stone. Listen to this verse, verse 5 of Jonah 2. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. And with Jesus, Matthew 27:59, Joseph had taken his body, he wrapped it in a clean white linen, he laid him in his own tomb, which was hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. That's pretty cool. 1 Peter 3:18 and 19 says that Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by the which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on all the ins and outs of this, but he went and preached to the spirits that were in prison. Remember we talked about those chains of darkness that the devil and his angels that were reserved for them? He went and preached to the spirits in prison. Let's see. And then he conquered. He triumphed. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So he ascended, led captivity captive, and defeated death, the grave, hell, all those things. So he took the saints with him to heaven. Another similarity. See, he was afflicted. He was afflicted. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was afflicted. D, he was separated from the Father. There's, think of like song lyrics that come to mind about this, but about the Father turning his face away. Isaiah 50, or Matthew 27:46, where Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he became our sin, he was forsaken of his Father. And I can't imagine how Jesus, who was one with the Father and had never experienced sin, when you think about when you're guilty, that horrible, guilty feeling of your sin that Jesus had never felt, and when he became our sin, I can't imagine what that felt like, and then to be separated from the Father with all that. I'm so thankful that he did that for me, but man, he was separated from the Father. And last, he triumphed. Colossians 2:14 and 15 is basically just saying that he nailed our sins to his cross, and he spoiled the devil and all his angels and all his power, and he triumphed over them in it. And Revelation 1:17 through 18, I think this is one of the coolest verses. I found this when I was studying about to talk with the Jehovah's Witnesses about whether Jesus was God or not. And for me, this verse sealed it, because John sees the glorified Jesus and describes him, and then he says that he falls down at his feet as dead. And then Revelation 1:18, Jesus lays his hand on him and he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. When was God ever dead? It was when Jesus died. All right? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Just before that, he says, I'm the first and the last. That's a term reserved only for God. He says, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death, of hell and of death. The only way that Jesus was getting out of the grave would be a miracle. And the only way that Jonah was getting out of the fish, it would take a miracle. So, but it happened. Verse 10, at the end of chapter 2, it says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. So point 3, how Jonah escaped hell. The fish vomited him out. If there was no way for Jonah to get out when he was down in the bottom of the sea, if he could have gotten out of the mouth, he would have been in the bottom of the sea. It was an impossibility. It took a miracle. So what happened to bring God to the point to where he commanded the fish to let him out? A, this is what Jonah did. He looked toward God's holy temple. Verse 4 says, then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. B, he prayed. Verse 1, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Verse 2 said, out of the belly of hell cried I. And verse 7, he says, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee. So he prayed. And C, he acknowledged that the Lord was his only way of salvation. He says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Those that believe lies, they forsake the opportunity that they have to receive mercy. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And at the end, salvation is of the Lord. He realized the only hope he had, his only salvation was the Lord. Like I said, there was no way for him to get out. In the belly of the fish, in the depth of the sea. D, he offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 9, he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He offered thanksgiving from the belly of the fish. And E, he made vows. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. He made vows. All right. Point 4, how we escape hell. We'll try to get through these quickly here. A, same way Jonah did. We look to Jesus. And these, you guys, we all know these, but let's just be reminded of how we escaped hell. We look to Jesus. John 3:14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's not our good works. It's not by trying harder. It's not by anything that we do. It's by looking to Jesus. B, we pray. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It takes a prayer of faith. Crying out to God with our words. It's verbalizing our need for a Savior. And C, we acknowledge that Jesus is our only way of salvation. John 14:6, very familiar. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way of salvation. So when we do these things, we're saved from the punishment of our sin, which is hell. Our souls are saved, but we're still awaiting the adoption or the redemption of our bodies. We're still walking in this fallen world, which is against us. So what do we do? So because of what God's done for us, because he saved us, redeemed us, we've escaped hell, and because of what he's going to do yet in the future, we can offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. D, we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. God wants us to use our mouth to thank Him and to praise Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you're in the belly of the whale, it takes faith to offer thanksgiving. In E, we make vows. We say things like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." We say things like, "I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price." We say things like, "Lord, I'm all in." And whatever, whenever, wherever. Because of what He's done for us, we say those kinds of things to Him. "I'm not my own, I'm yours." So, we looked at the hell that Jonah was in, and we looked at the hell that the Bible talks about, and we looked at how Jesus tasted that for us. He took our punishment, and He had victory over it, and He gave us, and He rescued us from our punishment. So, how does this apply to our lives on a daily basis? We're going to mostly look at that at our tables, at our questions, but so practically, that's what we're going to talk about at our tables. Let's pray, and then we'll get to those. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word, and I just pray that, like You said, that it wouldn't return void, that it would accomplish Your purpose in our heart. Thank You for all that You've done for us, and the picture of Jonah and the hopelessness that took a miracle to get him out, and we know that we, through nothing we did, through everything that Christ did, that we've been saved from our punishment for our sin. And we thank You so much for that. And it ought to change our attitude and our life and just our outlook. We thank You for doing that for us. And I just pray that You'd bless the rest of our time together, that You'd be honored. Amen.